Graduation season has been in full swing, and lately I'm noticing graduations in a different way. You mean my babies are going to do this someday? It's a hard reality to swallow. Even if I've got a little time, it's hard to look toward the fact that the whole goal of parenting is to raise them up so that they don't need us to hold their hands anymore. Right now, though, we're not quite there. It's more like repeating myself over and over again. That's the phase where we're in. All right, yes, you can help water the flowers, but don't spray anybody with the hose. Okay, here it is. Remember, don't spray anybody. Careful, you almost got me with that. And what are we doing? We're not spraying anybody. I can say it as many times as I want to say it, but what's a kid with a hose going to do? Spray his little sister, right? Of course. Because no matter how many times you say some things, they just don't get through. So I can relate, or at least imagine that I can relate, to Jesus' frustration with Philip when Philip asks to see the Father. Jesus is going, Philip, what have we been talking about this whole time? The Father and I are one. It sounds like one of those parenting moments, except instead of, don't spray your sister, Jesus is going, believe me, Philip, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Come on, man, we've been over this. Look at me, Jesus says to Philip. This is where you access the Father, in me. But Philip is anxious, because this is the farewell discourse in John's gospel, which is Jesus talking to the disciples before his arrest and his crucifixion. He's already told them that he's leaving and that they can't come where he's going. So you can understand, I think, that Philip and the rest would be upset, that they'd be struggling. They don't want to be left alone. And parents know what this is like. Where are you going, Daddy? I want to come with you. Which is about enough to break your heart. So what do? Buddy, I love you so much. I'm sorry I can't bring you with me, but I won't leave you alone. There will be someone here to take care of you. And that's basically where Jesus takes this. I will ask the Father, Jesus says, and he will give you another advocate, someone to come and be with you, come alongside you, instruct you, and comfort you. I won't leave you alone, Jesus says. I think he's grappling here with the challenge that parents eventually face, sending the ones who have been formed out into the world. It's time for the disciples to spread their wings here and grow into their calling. So Jesus promises to send the advocate, but that's not all. He keeps going. If in my name, Jesus says, you ask me for anything, I will do it. It's a pretty bold promise to make, right? One that we might go, hold on, wait a minute, what did he just say? But maybe there's another parenting connection here. Andrew Wakefield suggests that we may be able to think of this promise from Jesus to do anything we ask in his name as the same sort of hyperbole, extreme exaggeration that parents might use when they tell a child, honey, I will do anything for you. The child might say, really? I want a tattoo and an elephant and a Ferrari. And if that's where we go, the child has missed the point. This promise, even if it's an exaggerated one, shows the parent's infinite love for the child. The love that will seek the good of the child above even the parent's own good. This exaggeration is a way of expressing the intimate relationship between a loving parent and a child. And that's a relationship that's not simply about giving and receiving. But infinite love for a child that seeks the good of the child above the parents' own good, that starts to sound like someone we know, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like Jesus? What we celebrate today on Pentecost is that in infinite love, the Father sends the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to come alongside us and to enliven the church. Because God will not leave Philip and the original disciples alone. God does not leave you alone either. In a whirlwind, the Spirit descends to be with us. When they were baptized, that same Spirit came alongside of Jacob, Nathan, Victoria, and Wilson in a new way, sealing them with the cross of Christ and naming them child of God. By water and the Spirit, they receive forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and in this baptism by the Spirit, they are called to work for God's kingdom. The Spirit that called them has not abandoned them, but walked alongside them in the years since as they've learned and grown. It's been with them in confirmation classes these last 2 years and at camp at Luther Rock. It's empowered them and encouraged them as they work through Luther's small catechism, as they memorized all 66 books of the Bible. That's a pretty good trick, right? And as they learned about the Ten Commandments and were able to name them in order. And as they all step up here shortly to confirm for themselves the promises that their parents made for them when they were baptized, we'll pray that that same Spirit of God, the Spirit that will not abandon us, would be stirred up in them as they continue their journey of faith, as they grow and seek to be the people that God has called them to be. It's a proud day for our congregation. It's a proud day for their families, for their parents. They're taking a step toward maturity in the life of faith. And whatever comes from here, we know that they will not be alone, that we will not be alone, because in infinite love, God provides. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.